Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Let's read from verse 1 down to verse 11. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had let speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the great draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. How desperately we need your help today. Father, we realize the great magnitude of the words we've just read. Father, we humble ourselves before your greatness, before your majesty, before your presence among us. We approach you in prayer, as Paul said, in fear and trembling, Father, because we know that there is something in this passage of Scripture that you want us to get, and it would be very easy, Father, for the man delivering the message or the people receiving the message to mess it up, because we're human beings. And as we saw during Sunday school, there's a lot of problem with sin and self-motive in our own lives. Father, we come to you today the best way we know how, and humble ourselves before you and ask you please just to magnify your word and glorify your name and honor your son and edify these saints and lead the lost to Jesus Christ. Father, accomplish in our church, in our lives, what you want out of this message today for Jesus' sake. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when I look at what the Lord has done in the ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church over the years, there is no doubt in my mind, probably no doubt in your mind, that the ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church is principally a seed sowing ministry. By that I say what we do in missions and in giving so much to the mission field and men out on the missions is just to spread the sowing of the seed of the Word of God worldwide. The radio. We don't even see the people ordinarily unless somebody is affected by the radio and then they come here. We don't see the people to whom we preach, but that goes out, and I know from time to time I've run into people in some public place, and they'll say, I know you. And then they'll think, okay, I know what it is. It's your voice. You're on the radio. I was standing in my line at Luby's one day, and the man behind me, I just said, you know, there are a lot of people that had the same idea at the same time, didn't they? And he said, you're on the radio at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, aren't you? I was like, yeah. So that ministry is a seed-sowing ministry. We don't know what God does with it, but we know that He does what He wants to with it. The internet continues to gain exposure, and there's just a wealth of information. I had a fellow that emailed me just the other day. He said, I appreciate so much what you do on the internet. And he said, unlike so many other ministries, you don't sell what's there. And I said, well, the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And it seems to be working okay for now. I don't see why we've changed that. The nursing homes now with Holm Green and Windsor and the Port Ministry, Fishers of Men, where we've passed out so many Bibles in these neighborhoods. The Del Mar College Ministry, where we have a table and then do some public preaching, and we're setting up another public ministry opportunity here right after spring break. All these have to do with broadcasting the Word. All of these have to do with publishing the Word of God. And in others, maybe I didn't name something, but they really are seed sowing ministries. But you know something? When you read this passage of Scripture, there's a phrase that jumps off the page that is unmistakable. And it's in verse 10. It said, the Bible says, so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth, now here's the phrase, thou shalt catch men. Thou shalt catch men. A seed sowing ministry is by design just that. You broadcast that seed over all kinds of soil. Some of it is good soil and people get saved, and some of it is wayside and it just gets trampled or stolen by the devil. You really don't know what all God's going to do with it, but it's not really designed so much to be a thou shalt catch men type ministry. I mean, if you were to compare seed sowing to fishing, it's chumming. If you've known anything about it, it's just getting a whole lot of bait out on the water. Okay, for the fish to come and eat. But when he says here, thou shalt catch men, then that tells me something. In addition to sowing the seed of the Word of God, we should be involved in catching men. And that's a very purposeful thing. You know, when you go fish, well, I like to fish. When I go fishing, I'll tell people, said, you like to fish? I say, oh yeah, I like to fish. You like to fish? They say, no, I don't. I like to catch, but I don't like to go fishing. I got that. The object here of what Jesus Christ is saying is that what you're going to be involved in this aspect of the ministry has to do with catching or landing some fish. And I know even in my own heart, my personal objection, because Paul says things like, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase, but that's in seed sowing. And I believe that wholeheartedly, absolutely. But Paul says also something about catching men. Jesus said it here. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 16. And I realize there's a bit of sarcasm in what Paul is saying in verse 16. But notice he says the same thing that Jesus said to the disciples. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, for the context. He says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Now watch it in verse 16. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, watch it, I caught you with guile. Now Paul, there's a bit of sarcasm here because Paul doesn't use guile. But he does use that phrase here, I caught you. In another place he says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I have begotten you by the gospel. So in this particular aspect of ministering to people, there is an aspect of putting out the Word of God with the intention of catching something. Thou shalt catch men. I caught you. And that's a little bit or somewhat different than simply sowing seed. And I love to sow the seed of the Word of God. I carry tracts with me. I carry those New Testaments with me. And given opportunities to put those things out, God blesses that. But then there's also this aspect of catching men. So the question then comes up from the passage of Scripture, How shalt thou catch men? What is the process? How is this done? What do we see in the text? You catch men by several things that you see here. Number one, you catch men by fishing for men. Look in Luke chapter 5 at verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Do you see what he said? Let down your nets. He didn't say, let's go for a cruise in the deep water. He said, take me out there and we're going to do something. The nets are going down. Why did they put the nets down? So they could run them through the water? No, they put the nets down with the intention of catching fish. Here's the deal. If you don't go fishing for men, you will never catch men. By the same token, if you don't go fishing for fish, you will never catch fish. Yesterday I had my plate full of things to do. And I have on my iPhone a thing called the Solander tables. And I got to looking at that moon when Ann and I were walking the night before. And I said, I bet you, I bet it's good fishing day. So I looked at the Solander table and it was a good fishing day. The peak time was in the afternoon and the wind wasn't going to be bad. And I was like, ooh boy. I told Ann, I said, it'd be a great day to go fishing. Well, as it turned out, I got involved in some other things that concerned the ministry. And so I didn't go fishing. And you know what? I didn't catch any fish yesterday. Now, Joe Petrie likes to fish. I told Joe, as a matter of fact, he fishes so much, listen how he answered the question. I said, hey, Joe, did you go fishing yesterday? He said, no. He said, well, wait a minute. Yeah, he said, I did go fishing. I thought, oh, man. Oh, that is a bummer. Anyway, his anchor rope and the chain came untied, so he didn't fish very much. Yeah, I know. He said, I just caught a couple of reds and a trout. I was like, yeah. Yeah, but I would have never asked that. You know what? You know why he caught two reds and a trout and I didn't catch any? He went fishing and I didn't. Do you understand that? You say, well, this is very basic. It's very basic. Jesus Christ was talking to some commercial fishermen. This is not a difficult lesson here. There's not anything hard to understand. People say, I don't read the Bible. It's hard to understand. You're not having any trouble with this. If you fish, you catch. If you don't, I mean, at some point. But if you don't fish, I guarantee you, if you don't fish, you never catch fish. And that's the point. You know, when Jesus Christ came up to these men at this scene that you're reading here in Luke chapter 5, notice what they were doing in verse 2. He saw two ships standing by the lake. That's not where you catch fish. But, that's a contrasting word. The fishermen were gone out of them, and they weren't fishing from the shore. They were washing their nets. Now, I realize that if you fish, you have to wash your nets, or the nets will decay, and then you won't be able to catch fish, because when you get fish in the net, they'll break. I understand that. But you know what? There are a lot of times that we're not catching fish because we're spending a lot of time washing nets. Do you understand? I mean, there is a lot to administer in a Christian life. People say, you know, you need to clean up your life. Well, you're the fisherman. You get so squeaky clean, and it's wonderful. You should be holy and righteous before God, but you need to get out there and get dirty and try to catch a few fish. At least that's what Jesus Christ was telling these men. It's possible to do too much net washing and not enough fishing. If you want to fish for men, if you want to catch men, you have to fish for men. Now, let me just say this. When Milton and Randy do the port ministry, they recognize this is primarily a seed sowing ministry. They'll come back and say, yeah, we gave out 37 Bibles. We gave out 50 Bibles. We gave out 13 Bibles. When I go, we gave out 5 Bibles. It's something about having the preacher along. And then God gave the increase. God does whatever He wants to with those Bibles. But they are also aware that on those ships, there are people who have been prepared by the Spirit of God for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes more than just sowing the seed of the Word of God. It takes a conversation, a witness, an attempt to catch a man. And from time to time, they'll come back and say, woohoo! Matter of fact, I got a text the other day. And a guy named Justine got saved. I get this text, woohoo, guy got saved. Isn't that funny how fishermen are? They catch a fish and they go, woohoo! Joe Smith caught a bay full of fish in his lifetime, I'm sure. And Joe Smith and I were talking about my kayak one day, which happened to be a tandem, two-seater kayak, sit on top. I was trying to find out a good place to fish, and he took me to Doc's Seafood Restaurant. We stood up there on the balcony, and we're overlooking the bay. He said, now, right over there, you see where those islands are, blah, blah, blah. And he's describing, he said, right in there, they call that a thing. Right there, you can fish. That'd be a good place to catch fish. He said, now, are there two seats in that kayak? I said, yeah, I have one for me, and I use it to take the kids. But tell me about it. He said, now, over there, you see that channel over the sun shining right there? You see that channel? That's a good place. He said, now, do both people paddle or just one paddle? I said, no, they both. And I finally, after he kept doing that, I said, did you want to go fishing? He said, I sure do. So we load him up one day, and we got with Irene, and he and I started at one place, and we were going to follow the wind all the way down to another place, and she was going to pick us up when we got to the end. Well, we got to this one place, he said, I believe right here would be a good place to get out and fish. So he had an old gold spoon, and he got out, you know, and he's casting, and I'm over there going, this is worthless, you know. And all of a sudden I hear, you know, that's the drag pulling off the reel there. And you know what happened? As soon as he hooked up, this guy has caught a million fish if he's caught one. He hooks up, I look over the rod's bit, and he goes, woo! To my knowledge, that was the last fish he caught in his life, wasn't it? I got a picture of that thing still. Let me tell you something, man. It never gets old. Ever. And I mean, he hooked up. You know why he hooked up? We went fishing. We could have sat there in his yard and talked about fishing all day long. That's not what he wanted to do. He wanted to catch a fish. So Justine, woo, I get this picture. Woo, got a fish. And then, you know what that guy told? He said, this is so good, you need to go tell the captain. They don't ordinarily get to see the captain. And so Milton says, where is he? You know why he went over there? He put some more bait on his hook. And he went over there and talked to the captain, and the captain sat down there, and they talked, what, for 45 minutes? And that captain got saved. Woo! Got another one. You know why that happened? Because there were some guys over there that were sowing seed that had a rod and reel with them and recognized we may be in some good water here. There may be a fish. We need to be ready to catch a man. Are you getting the picture? That wouldn't have happened if all they had done was to go and pass out Bibles and tracts. Had to be ready to fish with the idea, there may be some fish to catch here. We better be ready. You catch men by, help me here, fishing for men. Try that one more time. We got two over here on the front row, one over there nodding head. Okay. The answer is fishing for men, okay? You catch men by, there you go. That's right. That's right. And that's what the Lord said. All right, here's the next thing. You catch men by, listen, this is very important. You catch men by fishing where and when the Lord directs. See, this is still the Lord's ministry. You don't just go out there and say, I'm going to throw my nets and I'm going to come home with fish every time. No, you fish where and when the Lord directs. Look at verse 5. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, in other words, this is obviously not a good time. This is obviously not a good place. That's what Peter's telling him. I'm the fisherman. You're just the Lord. What do you know? You're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. Come on. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Oh, that's so important. You see, because he went where? The Lord said in verse 4, launch out into the deep. He went where the Lord told him to go. And he went when the Lord told him to go. He said, I'm tired, man. We've been washing our nets. I just finished washing the nets. This is not the time to go. I need to go home and rest. I need to be with my family. And the Lord says, now. Now. You know what? They didn't catch anything when they went on their own schedule. And they didn't catch anything when they went where they wanted to go. Did they? He said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken how much? Nothing. Jesus Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. So just because you get the big idea that you want, I feel guilty. I need to go out and try to do this fishing thing so I can catch me a man. That's not going to be very productive. And you'll get discouraged and you'll stop. You see, fishing is not like seed sowing in this regard because it's in my mind, it's always a good time to sow the seed of the Word of God. It doesn't make any difference what the circumstances are or where you are unless it's illegal. Leave out tracts. I mean, we have a family that comes here from time to time, and I asked them the other day, I said, so how'd you find our church? They said, well, I was at the gas station pumping my gas, and somebody had left a chick tract there. We used to pass those out in my church when I was a little kid, and I flipped it over and took a picture of the backside. It was your church, and here I am. Somebody was sowing some seed. It's really very, very few places that are bad times and bad places to sow seed. But when it comes to fishing, a sensitivity to the leadership of the Lord in your life is a very good thing. Because the Lord will tell you where to launch out, here in the deep, and He'll tell you when to fish. Now let down your net. And the reason that's so important is that if you get the idea that somehow or another you're the soul winner, you may be inclined to say, well, because I'm fishing, and fishing results in catching men, I'm going to go ahead and get this person to pray with me so I can say I caught a man. That doesn't catch men. That'll get you in trouble before the Lord because you'll get up there and you'll find out that that person you told everybody got saved didn't get saved. He wound up in hell and you didn't do your job. He says, it's time to talk to this person about the Lord. And you know, when he says that, you don't want to resist his leading if you want to catch men. You see, if Peter had not let down that net, there wouldn't be any fish caught that day. You say, well, how would I know when the Lord or the Spirit of God is leading me to talk to somebody like that about the Lord? And you understand, the reason so it's so important to understand you've got both going on is that sometimes when you're led by the Spirit of God to talk to somebody, you're just there sowing seed, doing something to help them get a little further along as the Spirit deals with them for some time in the future when they get saved. But sometime it's time to lock up and hook up. I want to ask you this. People say to me, well, how do I know if the Lord's leading me in that direction? Has the Lord ever put anybody on your heart to talk to about the Lord? Have you ever been somewhere and you saw this person, perhaps somebody you'd been praying for, and the Lord said, now? You ever done that? You ever experienced that? Did you ever say to the Lord, you know, but I got to be at Walmart in 5 minutes. And come up with an excuse not to do that. Have you ever done that? I've done that. I'm not proud of that, but I've done that. Well, two things are true then. You already know what it is to be prompted by the Lord. And you know what it is to say no. And what the Lord's saying here is, when I tell you to let down the net, let it down. Trust me. I know when and I know where. And if our schedules aren't so tightened up that we have all these things that we think we have to get done, we'll be able to respond to His leadership where we're to fish and when. We have a list of names that we pray for on Sunday morning. There's several names of people that we've been praying for that are in our neighborhood. And you know what the truth is? If those names that are on that list that I've put on there are there because the Lord wants me fishing with them as He leads, and I don't, I'm not going to catch those men. Now, does that mean that the Lord won't get them some other way? The Lord's not willing that any should perish. But here He said to them, thou shalt catch men. Paul said, I caught you. If you're going to be used by God to do it, you have to fish. When He tells you and where He tells you. There's something else in this text. Look at Luke chapter 5 at verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. You catch men by fishing for men. You catch men by fishing where and when the Lord directs. You catch men by fishing with partners. They didn't go out there and try to do this all by themselves. Because there were a lot of fish, as it turns out, and they needed help. If you were, you know, here they're using a net. And obviously, if you've ever used a net, it takes several people. I remember doing this when we were in Pensacola. It was legal to fish with a gill net. Now, we didn't set the gill net out there and wait for fish to run into it. We were, as one lady said, we were mulleting. We were catching mullet to eat. That's what they do over there. We had a 450-foot net, and you take that thing and you take it out into deep water. So 6 feet deep, that's where the floats were, and the lead line was down below. Go down the shore as far as you could and then back to the beach, and you enclosed everything in there was yours. And then, you know what? That took more than one guy to start pulling when you start catching some fish. You had guys on the other end pulling. There were several of us there. We needed partners. And you know, the great thing is we all divided the spoil. That was a great thing. But sometimes when you go fishing, you go and you go with a rod and reel and you've got a line. And I've been describing it kind of like fishing with a line, fishing with a rod and a rod and reel. And the truth of the matter is, listen, the more lines you have in the water, generally speaking, the more fish you catch. Now, it used to be in the old days, I was pretty good at this. I'm not sure that I am anymore. I mean, that is being able to catch fish when somebody else wasn't. Somebody that's been fishing with me giggling because they know that. But I remember we were fishing one time and there were three of us fishing along from about the edge of this platform to where I am here. Three of us right here. Late in the afternoon out on the intercoastal. We're fishing with something that drops to the bottom and comes up. Boom, I'd catch a fish. Boom, the guy on the other side catch a fish. The guy in the middle, just bait. Pitch it back out there again. I'd catch a fish. Guy on the other end, catch a fish. He'd reel it back, just bait. This happened until finally he said, I'm done with you guys. We're getting out of here. I'm sick of this. Y'all are catching all the fish. I'm not catching any. But I'll tell you something. When you see other people catching fish, it makes you want to catch some. But here's the deal. The fact that he was fishing with partners, he got to go home with fish that day. Do you get the picture? When you're fishing for men and you go with a partner, there's two things that happen. One, if anybody catches fish, you all get it. Right? And number two, if one guy's really doing good at fishing and the other guy could be doing something with praying, getting the Lord more involved in it. And number three, if one guy's good at fishing and the other one's still a novice, he gets to learn from watching the other guy fish. Partners. You want to catch men? Then fish for men. You want to catch men? Then fish where the Lord tells you to fish and fish when He tells you to fish. You want to catch men? Get somebody to help you. He said, I would go fishing, but I don't know very much about it. Take somebody with you. One time, I was talking with Zach. Who did we take with us? Spencer? That time, okay, so those two guys wanted to go fishing. I said, good, we got these tandem kayaks, get in the front. So I put him in the front, took him down to my fishing hole. He caught all the redfish. I made him give me some. It's a good thing I had a partner. Now, two things happened. I ended up with fish, listen, and he learned something about fishing that he didn't know. He found a good spot, and he found a good time. But I've got the kayak, so he's not been back. Here's another thing. You catch men, look in Luke chapter 5, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You catch men, listen, you catch men by fishing with humility. This is different than regular fishing. In regular fishing, they got a contest and, catch the biggest string or a redfish, and then they all weigh in and some guy gets it and he's got this big old smile. He's holding his fish way out here and his picture's in the paper and he's talking about how good a fisherman I am. I won the contest. Or they do a deep sea fishing deal and he's got this great big fish hanging like that and he's standing over there and his chest is all puffed out. I caught that fish. And there's a lot of pride in that. There's a lot of display. It's all over the newspaper. It's all, well, the fishing papers anyway. It's all over that kind of stuff. Or let's say he's a pro. He gets to be a good enough fisherman. He gets his own TV show. So what's that for? That's for Saturday afternoons when you need to take a good nap and you can't go fishing. Turn that thing on, watch a little bit, and fall asleep. They'll tell you all about, you know, this thing and how we use this bait and all that. You know, he's got bat patches all over his vest, you know, and he's got a boat that'll go 375 miles an hour in the water and crazy stuff. There is a sense of pride when you are a good fisherman for fish. There's a sense of humility when you are a good fisherman for men. Why? Because it's about the Lord, not about you. Peter said, he says, let down that net. He let it down and he caught that. They caught a multitude of fish. And Peter said, depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. No business being involved in something this great when you're on board. You fish with humility. They caught a great multitude of fishes. So many in verse 7 that they filled both ships. So many in verse 6 that their net break. They should have been able to get back over to the shore and say, look what we did! But they couldn't because they knew they hadn't done it. They got back over there and brought all those fish in, and the Lord said, I'm going to use this as a teaching moment and tell you that you're going to catch men. The beauty, I've been around soul winning for 30 years. And I understand the word. I know where it comes from in Proverbs chapter 11. I understand all that. But when you get around high-powered soul winners, it's now about them. They build ministries around their ability to lead souls to Jesus Christ. They get meetings and conferences around their ability to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. They ought to be on their knees before the Lord. Because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. This kind of fishing. I remember sometimes we'd go out soul winning, people come back and say, how many souls did you lead to the Lord? And they say, I led two to the Lord on such and such a street. And you know what? That was just like putting stripes on the shoulder here. How many did you lead to the Lord? And of course, it was always the guy that answered last that won the most. I won three, I won four. Well, how many did you lead? Well, anybody else going to speak? I won five. So much so desperate men become for this that they no longer call it so-and-so got saved. They say so-and-so made a decision for Christ. What does that mean? You know what that means is? That means is that I've got to keep reporting these numbers. And so I'm not sure that they're saved. I'm not sure you'll see them in heaven, but I know this. They prayed the prayer. I'm going to tell you something. Fish don't pray prayers. When he's on the stringer, you know you caught him. There's no question. He's in the boat. He landed. They had no question about those fish that were in that multitude there. They saw him up on the shore. They were in the boat. The boat's nearly sank. And when you are allowing the Lord to use you to catch men, when they get saved, truly saved, you know it's the Lord that did it. And you know they're saved. Fishing with humility. You catch men by doing what? Fishing for men. Some of you remembered. I know that's 4 points ago. That's why I had to. You do it by fishing for men, and then you go where and when the Lord wants you to go. You fish with partners because it's not about you, and you get some help, and it really makes a difference. And you fish with humility because it's about the Lord and not about us. And then I'll give you one other thing. You catch men. We're not talking about you go fishing. We're talking about catching. You catch men by forsaking things that interfere with fishing. You see here in verse 11, when they had brought their ships to land, after the Lord said, from henceforth thou shalt catch men, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know what you're seeing there is these guys had done a lot of fishing. This was their occupation. This particular day was a banner day. But when they got up there And they were finished with that, and the Lord said, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. They realized something. If we stay around these boats, we've got two big jobs that we have to do right now. Number one, we have to mend these nets because they break. And number two, we got to wash them again. And number three, if we're going to get any more fish, we got to go fishing again. And the Lord just said, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. If I get involved in these three things over here, I'm not going to have time to go fishing for men over here. So they just said, we're going to let that go, and now we'll have some time. You know, I understand, and I think Brother Logan put it in real good perspective. There are people that are sitting here today that have a great desire and are being encouraged by what you hear. But you know what? You do have busy lives. There are bills in your house that have to be paid. There are children that have to be nourished. There are children that have to be clothed and properly reared. There are maintenance problems at the house. There are maintenance problems with the vehicles. There are all kinds of things. I understand that. But there are also some things that we do absolutely by choice. And they do interfere with our ability to catch men. And so, if the Lord impresses upon your heart that He wants you fishing, and you can't because something else is on the plate, you need at that point to really ask the Lord, is this where, and is this when, and is this what I need to let go of to make sure I've got time to do this? That's what He directed the disciples to do. He told them, you want to be My disciple, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow Me. There's some self-denial involved in that thing. Question is, whether or not you want to catch men. Whether or not you want to catch men. You see, He said, He gave them an illustration here. They caught a multitude of fish, so much that they filled both ships and they began to sink. And look at Peter's reaction in verse 9. He was astonished. And all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. In other words, they had done a lot of fishing, but they had never seen anything like this. It was so remarkable that they were astonished at the draught of fish. And you know what I see when I read that? I see a few years later, when Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven, and Peter is in the upper room with 120 people, and the Spirit of God comes in there, and the Lord says, Peter, it's time to let down the net again. And Peter stands up in the midst of that multitude, and he begins to preach to all those Jews about their part in crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the remission of sins that are available to them through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. That's a multitude of fish. That's a multitude of fish. You know what happens in our society now? Several things. We know the Lord is soon to arrive. I don't know when He's coming. May the 14th, 1989 has been a long time ago. And September, whatever it was, 1988, that's been a long time ago. And He still hasn't come. But He's coming. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we know that iniquity abounds and the more we know that perilous times shall come. We know that. And so as we look around us, we see apostasy in the church because He says, there shall be a falling away first. And then we say, you know what? The fishing hasn't been good. Not like it was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, you could knock on doors and people would let you into their houses. You'd sit down with them and talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, there was just really something. It's not like that today. And I remember my father talking about fishing, and they used to fish and catch trout, and they would have trash cans on board the boat and just load those trash cans full of trout on a fishing day. And now they tell you you can't keep more than what, 5, 10, and 3 reds, and they got to be such a size. It's not like it used to be in the old days, but boy, there are still a lot of people out there fishing. Wouldn't you like to be astonished? I'd like to be astonished if the Lord was so willing. I really believe sometime, and the reason I just mentioned all those things, I really believe that sometime in churches we're seeing less people saved because there are less people fishing. I love what Brother Hoffmeister said when he was here the last time he preached. He said, when was the last time that you sat down with somebody with an open Bible and showed them Jesus Christ out of the Scripture? He said, maybe that's why you haven't seen anybody saved in a while. This is your bait, so to speak. This is what gets open in front of people that you've been praying for at such a time that God can use it to catch a man. He's not willing that any should perish. Peter and those men had no idea that night or that day that they were going to catch that load of fish. As a matter of fact, they had already struck out. They really didn't want to do this. And you know what? We've had some experiences like that where we've struck out and we're all so tired. We got a lot of things going on. We don't want to do this. But the Lord says, if you'll follow me, you'll catch some men. He said, I don't know, preacher. I don't believe it. You know what he told them in verse 10? Fear not. Don't be afraid of this. Don't be afraid of it. Fear not. I believe that we don't catch more men than we do because we don't fish any more than we do. Is that right? Is that right? You know, I've talked to you at length about being where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to be doing, when God wants you doing it. And that's a good thing. To have flexibility in your schedule so the Spirit of God can lead you. And I believe the Lord directed me to this passage of Scripture for two reasons. One, to let me know that He desires to use me more in fishing. And two, because I believe He desires to use you more in fishing. Don't be afraid. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. You say, well, I've never done it before. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Let it down. See what God can do with it. Amen. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look in your word today for encouragement in this matter of catching men. I know that Jesus Christ died for every lost soul in Corpus Christi. I know that Jesus Christ died for every lost soul that I know and for every lost soul that the folks in this church know. I know that. And I know that when He instructed His disciples, Lord, in this matter of catching men, He showed them something by what they were already familiar with. We know enough about fishing, but we don't know enough about catching men. Father, I pray for us with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I approach you in fear, Father, because I don't want this to be a man's deal. I want this to be your deal. Help us, Father. I pray today, Lord, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, that you will prompt our hearts and our spirits in this matter. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes closed, I hadn't preached the gospel here today, not even going in that direction, I want to ask you a question. As the Lord ministers the words of this message to you, if He shows you that He can use you as a fisherman, would you be willing to go fishing for men? That's the question. If you would, just slip your hand up and slip it right back down and I'll pray for you. Okay. Father, a number of people in the church have raised their hands regarding this matter. Didn't ask them to make a big presentation of themselves or a big display of their commitment. I believe sincerely in their hearts that if you would use them in this capacity, your Spirit could lead them to a fish where they could do some fishing. Father, I ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will help every person here today, particularly those who have raised their hands, communicate to them out of your words how they should apply the words they've heard from this sermon to their lives. And then, Father, direct them to a partner, to a place, to a time where you have some fish that you would like them to catch. And I pray, Lord God, that you will take what you've done here in the life of this church and help us together to fish for men. For I ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.